If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God is looking, and I think we all recognize this, but he is looking for people that will just be faithful, men and women, young men and young women that will just be faithful to him. In a day when faithfulness is almost gone, God needs some that are willing to stand up and just be faithful. Just be faithful. We recognize that the word faithful means being true in affection and allegiance. And we need more than ever before today just some good old-fashioned faithfulness and dependability. Church members in good standing are often referred to as the church within the church or the faithful few. And if it was not for these individuals that are categorized as the church within the church, no church would be able to exist. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness in a practical sense, and I want to give you some illustrations this morning about faithfulness. But faithfulness is Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, if you remember, Moses was one that was on the backside of the desert when God called him. And he had already made a choice in his life that he was going to turn away from the riches and the power and the prestige that he would have by being Pharaoh's daughter's son. And the Bible tells us that he gave up all of this in order to identify with those that were literally slaves. And he was one that put his faith and his trust in the Lord. And he knew that God was going to do what he promised, that was to bring the children of Israel out of bondage and take them to that land that he had promised them. But what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is old Job sitting there in that ash heap, scratching his sore body. Now, this is a pitiful scene as you see the man of God in one day. He was a wealthy man when he woke up that morning, but before nightfall, he had lost it all. And you know how the story goes, that the enemy came and they destroyed all that he had and took away all of his cattle and all of his sheep and all of his camels. And in the same day, he had seven sons and three daughters. And they were all in the same house together when a storm came and killed all 10 of them. And then we see him here sitting there in that ash heap. And the Bible tells us that he had sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And these were sores that were filled with infection and pus. And I know that's not a good word this morning. But he got a piece of a broken piece of a bow. And he began to scrape himself to get off that pus and those scabs and sores that was on his body. And to make things worse, his wife came up to him and said, "Job, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? Everything's going wrong. Why don't you just throw in the towel and quit?" Well, Job made this statement. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible said that he did not sin against God in all of this. He was a man that was faithful. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is Abraham, the father of the faithful, and the man that was called by God is his friend, going up Mount Moriah in order to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice to the Lord. As they were going, Isaac said, "Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" And he made a statement to him. He said, "God will provide a sacrifice." Not knowing just what was going to happen, but there was a ram that got caught up in the thicket that became the actual sacrifice. But it really prefigured the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. But he was a man that was faithful. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is Isaiah, the prophet of God. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up in the heavens, he said, "Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is Ruth, the Moabite maid, coming to the border of Moab and Israel and saying to her mother-in-law, Naomi, "Whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." What a commitment. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is Peter and John standing before the dread Sanhedrin council. They had been told not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ or they would be put to death. But they made the statement, "Kill us if you will, but we cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard." Would to God that we had that kind of commitment and faithfulness today of folks that just cannot contain, that the fire or the word of God is in their bones, and they must share it with those that do not know the Lord. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is the Apostle Paul in prison. We see him picking up his pen and writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he said, "Timothy, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." What a testimony. Amen. What a testimony. "I've come to the end of life in my journey here, and I've been faithful to God, and I look forward to the time when I stand before him and hear him say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Being faithful sometimes is not always easy. In a day when it seems like men are going their own way, doing their own thing, in this day and time, God is looking for men, women, young men, young ladies, that'll just be faithful to him. That'll carry on the cross, the work of Almighty God. Well, the Bible teaches that we're to be faithful, number one, to his word. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." Some 2,000 years ago, in a little town of Bethlehem, the Bible tells us that God sent his son into the world, born of a virgin, to live among us for 33 years, to have 3 years of that to be ministry, and at the end of those 3 years, ascend to the cross. Pay the price for the sins of all the world, your sins and mine. He loved us so much that he was willing to die for us. The prophet said of him, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And when Mary held that baby in her arms, she was holding God's King. The Lord of Lords of all the universe. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. You see through the Word of God, time and eternity. You see, we know that Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time. And we know that he came with one purpose in mind, and that was to die for the sins of the world. He wanted to be the scapegoat for every man's sin. And so Jesus Christ went to the cross in the fullness of time. And after he was crucified, he was put in a barred tomb. And after 3 days, he was resurrected from that tomb. He spent 40 days with his disciples on the face of the earth. And then we see him ascending back to heaven. Now Jesus, as he was going up into heaven, the disciples were looking. And we know that the angels came and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven will also come again in like manner as you have seen him go." Listen, I recognize this morning that Jesus Christ has been gone now for 2,000 years. But I'm not worried. I know he's coming. I don't know just when he's coming, but I know that he is coming again the second time. And it behooves all of us to be ready for his coming. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, the Lord calls us to be faithful. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and Jesus gave us life. Should we not use that life that he redeemed for him? You see, I recognize this morning that we're just passing through this old world. You know, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and we're gone. You know, you kind of think as you go through life that your life needs to count for something. Well, what's the most important thing that you can do? Be a Christian. Amen. Serve God. Yes. Be like the Apostle Paul. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has given me, and not only to me, but to all of those that love his appearing." I'm here to tell you that the most important thing is not making money. You know, I read the other day, I was reading and came across folks in the early 20th century or the 19th century that were wealthy individuals. I mean, Charles Schwab and people like that. And the end of their life was tragic, just tragic. Many of them died. Some of them committed suicide, ended bankrupt. What's the most important thing? Is it money? I'm telling you, when you come to the end of life's journey, you can't take it with you. You don't see a Brinks truck coming behind the hearse, do you? You can't take it with you. You know, you're going to leave it all behind, and what's going to happen to it? I tell you, the kids will spend it. You've taught them to be thrifty and all of that all their life, and they get that money and they go wild, and after a little bit, it's gone. Money. You can't build your life on money. Amen. Well, faithful to the work. Jesus said, if on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The work of the ministry is threefold. We are told to go out and bring them in, build them up, and then send them out. And those that go out are to come and bring them in that we can build them up and send them out. That's God's plan. It just works. It just goes in cycles. And that's how God intended to win the world. He wanted to start out with that 12 disciples. And they would go and preach the gospel and more would be saved. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, there were over 500 brethren that saw the resurrected Lord up in heaven. That individuals that knew the Lord, but when it came to walking with him on a daily basis, only 12 were available, and that was the disciples. But when it came to standing by him when he was dying on the cross, only one was available. You see, as the commitment level deepens, you find fewer and fewer folks that are willing to pay that price. I believe in the church, the work of ministry that God has given us in the church. And I know that a church is living. And if we don't take care of the church, it'll die. Just like a person. You know, you don't take care of your body. You don't exercise and eat right and drink a lot of water. I hate water. Now, if you give me a Mountain Dew or a Coca-Cola, but when you got one kidney, the doctor says, Carl, you need to drink a lot of water. And so I try to drink a lot of water. You almost want to hold your nose, you know, when you do it. But but I was saved in the local church. The most important thing in my life is his church. I was saved in the local church. I was called to preach in the local church. I was married in the local church. And when I come to the time of dying, I want to be buried through the ministry of the local church. I believe in the local church. I know there are seminars, and I know there are TV preachers and all of that, but nothing takes the place of the local church. You know, I've had folks tell me, well, I send my money to that TV preacher. Well, I'm going to tell you what, when you get sick, and you go to the hospital, you call him up and say, I'm in the hospital. Will you come see me? He'll say, now, what's your name? But I love the church. It's the only organization commissioned by God to carry out his great work. You see, everything that you need to get your life right and to stay right, you'll find right here in the church. Everything you need to get your family right and to stay right, you'll find right here in the local church that preaches the Word of God. You see, we have a lot of problems with teenagers and difficulties, you know, with them not doing the right thing. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It'll make a difference. Amen. For time and eternity. One of the biggest reasons why we're in such a mess in the world today is we don't have Christian moms and dads teaching their children, thus saith the Word of God. During World War II, There was a church called St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And during the time when the Germans were sending the V-2 rockets over and they were bringing death and destruction and fire, the people of this church, instead of going when the sound came that the rockets were coming, instead of going to the shelters, they went over to the church with their hoses and buckets of water. And they kept it wet down in order that the church would not be burnt to the ground. And I thought about that kind of commitment. My, we need today in the church that it be on fire, but not with that kind of fire. We need it to be on fire from within. You see, we as the people of God need to be on fire for God. Amen. And that we burn to where that folks want to come in and see what's going on in the local church. And then finally, faithful to the word, or faithful to witness. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. We are to witness his death, his burial, and resurrection. Jesus said that the scripture tells us that he died for our sins according to the scripture, and he rose again the third day. And after 40 days, he ascended back to the Father. He's on the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for us. An example, there was a missionary in Australia, and he lived on the side of a hill, and he was crippled. He had several flights of stairs in order to get to the individual that he wanted to see, talk to him about the Lord. That individual was up on the higher level, and he watched the missionary as he was on his walker and his crutches, and he was walking up that flight of steps up to that man's house. And he noticed him that he fell. But he got back up, and he went a little farther, and he fell again. But he got back up, went a little farther, and he fell again. It so impressed the man. So impressed him, the fact that he had such a love and a concern for him, that when he finally got there on the fourth time, he came and he knocked on the door and he witnessed to the man, and the man got saved because he saw that he really cared, that he really loved him, and the price that he paid in order to witness to him about Jesus Christ. I want you to know that we're to be faithful and dependable. And one of these days when we answer to God, we look God in the eye, we want him to say, well done, good and faithful. That's right. Good and faithful. That's right. Are you faithful? Are you where God wants you to be? If there's a need in your life to draw closer, right here at the altars, you see the church can help you with whatever need that you have. God is omnipotent. He knows exactly what you need. He has what you need right here, and he'll supply it and give it to you this morning if you'll come to him. Let's bow for prayer.